Okay, we're starting Hilchos Mila today on the Rambam. There's only one mitzvah. And as we start with the Koseres, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Aseh Achas is one positive commandment. And that is, V'hi Limol HaZecharim B'yom HaShmini. So the mitzvah of Mila is to circumcise males on the eighth day after their birth. As we'll soon see, there's obviously exceptions to this, but that is the mitzvah. Okay, and Halacha Aleph, the Rambam lays out the normative instance of the mitzvah along with its unique formulation. And recall, Mila is a different type of mitzvah in the sense that the baby, or technically speaking, the chiyuv should fall upon the child to do Mila on themselves or have it done for them. But they can't, since they're a baby. So the mitzvah, therefore, falls on the father and other people. So the Rambam says in Lach Aleph, Mila mitzvah saseh, shechayavan aleha karis. Okay? So Mila, another interesting idea about how Mila is formulated, but Mila is a positive commandment that if you don't do, okay, you get karis. So if a male willingly never circumcises himself, all right, his nullification of the positive commandment produces the punishment of karis. Shneimar v'arel zohar asher lo yimol es besar loso v'nechorsa nefesh ha'imamel. The Torah openly says it: an uncircumcised male who does not get circumcised gets karis. Okay, and I'll go into this a little bit more soon. Mitzvah la'av limol es beno. Okay, so these are two different formulations, and we're going to get into each one. The first one is a father is, the mitzvah falls on the father to circumcise his son, and that's going to be one thing we're going to explore. The other one we're going to explore is a master is obligated to circumcise his slaves. And as you'll see, this is obviously referring to Eved Kenani, and there'll be two instances of mitzvah. One is Yelid Bayis, which is where a male slave is born. You already own the slave, so to speak, and now a slave child is born, or a child of a slave is born. And the other one is Miknas Kasev, is the purchase, meaning in purchasing, and as you'll soon see, when you purchase a slave, let's say she's pregnant, some of the lachas that apply by there as well. But there's two discrete expressions. One is on a father, and the other one is on someone who owns slaves. Avara av o adon, okay, let's say the father or the master does not do Mila, okay, velo mal o son, right, bitol mitzvah saseh, okay, so they are definitely mivatel the mitzvah saseh, however, veino chayiv karis, but they don't get karis. Why? She'ena karis talui, right, ela ba'aral atzma, because karis is only dependent on the person himself, meaning the child. Him being remaining uncircumcised is what produces the punishment of kares. So while it's true the father or the master has nullified and not fulfilled the mitzvah saseh, nonetheless, that doesn't mean they get kares. Only the individual who's chayiv to be circumcised, that's the only person that kares can be applied to. Ubezdin mitzuvim limol oso habein or eved bismano. Okay, v'lo yanichu arel b'yisra v'lo b'avdeim. So if the father forgoes his obligation, as an example, or the master, Beis Din swoops in. Beis Din steps in and is commanded to go ahead and take over and ensure that there's not one male in among the Jewish people who is uncircumcised. So again, the mitzvah is on the child, so to speak, to be circumcised. But since the child can't do it, the performance then falls on the father or the master. And if they're unwilling to do it, then Beis Din is now tasked with ensuring that this result takes place. Okay. First, we're going to focus on, father-son cases. Emalim benoshal adam, shalom idaito. All right. But in other words, you can't circumcise a child, right, against the das of the father. Okay. Ela imkin avar v'nimne limolo. Okay, so Beis Din Malin also Baal Korcho. Okay, so while it's true that Beis Din can step in and take over, that's only if the father refuses to do Mila on his son. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I can just walk in and say, you know what, I'm deciding to circumcise your son. That's not how it works. It only works if the father is reticent in bringing about this result. Then that's when Beis Din can step in, but they can't just take the child away. Now, let's say Nisalam and Beis Din v'lo malo, so let's say the child isn't circumcised by Beis Din either, all right, for whatever reason why. Okay, Kishi Yigdal, okay, and when he gets older, Hu Chayev Lomo Lasatzmo. So when he gets older, at that point, he is now Chayev to circumcise himself. Okay, the Chol Yom V'Yom, She Yavor Love, Mishi Yigdal, V'lo Yimo Lasatzmo. So every day that goes by, right, when he's older, that he's not done Mila to himself, Harehu Mevatel Mitzvah Saseh. So it's a fascinating idea. Every day, he's over and over and over again, he's Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh. It's like a recurring bittel of this mitzvah. However, Avla Inu Chayiv Kares, Sachi Yomas, who are amazing. But the Chayiv Kares, which is also a fascinating idea, the Chayiv Kares doesn't emerge until he dies, right? Because at that point, we can say he's now defined as an Arul Amazin. What's interesting about that is that Kares in general is classically is understood as a misa, as the worst of all deaths, and it's a misa that comes into existence. As an example, the person dies earlier, so you're kind of stuck in a logical loop here because, in other words, because you get kares, that's what makes you die earlier. But here, right, he would not be chayiv kares until he died. So it's a bizarre formulation, but that's the formulation according to the Rambam. Well, it comes from the Gemara, but according to the Rambam, about the chayiv kares. Okay. Now that takes care of the normative cases by father and son. We're going to come back to some more details later. But now the Rambam switches over to slaves, okay? And he's going to spend the next few halachas dealing with specifics about slaves, which, again, is maybe new to some people. Yes, we're not as sensitive to these, to the particular halachas of Avadim today. But it's important to recognize that, and there's a whole section on Avadim in the Mishnah Torah, but it's important to recognize that Halacha has a very detailed system that applies to Avadim, and the same applies to the mitzvah of Mila for children who are born into from slaves. So Halacha Gimel is going to explain. Echad Eved Shenola B'Shos Yisrael, the Echad Eved Anilkach Minakusim, Chayef Harav Limol Osam. Okay, so it doesn't matter if the child, if the slave child is born in my rishus or if it's purchased from the slave market, okay? Either way, I'm chayev to do mila on the child. Ella, okay, she lid bayis nimo l'shmona. But what's the difference, okay? Normally, if the child of a slave is born in my house, so then I do mila after 8 days. However, umiknas kesef, okay, but if it's a purchase, okay, if I purchase a slave, nimo biyom shenilkach, afil lachol biyom shenol, nimo biyomo. Fascinating idea. But if I purchase a slave, let's say a child slave, so I am chayef to do mila on, or let me rephrase it. The purchase of the child produces an immediate obligation to do mila. In other words, at that moment, I'm chayef to do mila. Even if, right, I purchase a child, right, who's 1 day old, right? And there's the moment I purchase that child, the chiyuv mila comes into existence. So I wouldn't wait 8 days. I would, let's say it's the third day of the baby's life. I got it, and that's the day I purchased the baby. I must do mila on that day, okay? We'll put aside health issues for the time being. But what the Rambam's showing you is that halachically speaking, depending on how the child comes into my possession, if it already, what do you call it, owned the mother, and then the child is born in my house, so then I can wait 8 days. But if it's through a purchase, then the chiyuv comes into existence immediately. Okay, now there are exceptions in Halacha Dalad. Yesh miknas kesev shenimo l'shmona, v'yesh lid bayis shenimo biyom shenolad. But there are exceptions. There are situations where in the purchase of the child slave, that I would wait until the 8th day to do mila. And there's also situations where if the child is born in my house, right, I would wait, I would do mila immediately, even on the day the child was born. So ketzad, lakach shivcha, the lakach ubra ima, okay, v'yalda, harezen ima l'shmona. So let's say I purchase a pregnant maidservant, okay? So again, a female slave, and she's pregnant. Okay. So I'm purchasing her and the fetus. I would wait until the 8th day after the birth of the child to go ahead and do Mila. The afapisha lakach ha'ubar bifnei atzmo, right? Varia ubar atzmo miknas kesef. Even though, technically speaking, the purchase was both of the female slave and of the fetus separately, okay? Meaning that's part, I'm purchasing that as well. Hol v'kana ima kodem shenola nima l'shmona. But since I purchased, so to speak, the female slave prior to the birth of the child, then it's considered as if it is being born in my presence, in my residence, and therefore I would wait until the 8th day. However, what's the other exception? The other side, lakach shechva leubreha, all right? Oshe lakach shechva amanash shelo lahatbila l'shem avdus. Okay, so let's say I purchase when I purchase a maidservant, I'm really purchasing just the fetus, meaning I'm purchasing the unborn child, all right? Or I purchase a maidservant on condition, right, that she's not going to go ahead and do tefillah, right? So she will remain in a different status, okay? But the child, the fetus will be different. So in this case, even though the child was born in my reshus, right, because it's an unborn child that I'm purchasing, I would do mila on the day the child was born. Because we treat the fetus separately, and it's as if I purchased the fetus on its own, okay? And it's as if I purchased it on that day. Because his mother is not considered part of the Jewish maidservants, that would therefore make the child as if it was born in my house. Okay, however, Vim tavla imo achar sheyalda hareza nimo lishmona. Interesting. But the one exception is that, and it's interesting how it could work retroactively, if the mother went ahead and did tvila, let's say 2 days after the child was born, okay, then I would wait, and let's say I didn't have a chance to do mila on the child, then you would wait until 8 days to do mila on the child, okay? So again, the main idea is that there is a situation where, we can separate out the child from the mother, from the mother as a slave. We could treat the child separately because the mother is considered not part of of the Jewish people at all. Okay, lachavav. Okay, now lakach eved gadol min akum. Okay, so that's now halacha dalet and hey was talking about if I'm buying, let's say, an unborn child, but let's say I buy an adult, okay, a non-Jewish slave who's an adult. V'lo ratza eved limo, and he doesn't want to do mila. He doesn't want to be circumcised. Okay, megaglin imo kol shnei masar chodesh. So basically, you kind of give him 12 months to think it over. Okay, to be resistant, so to speak, in doing mila. You give him 12 months. Okay, yeser alkein aso l'kaimo kishuaro. If he after 12 months, right, you're not allowed to still have him in your possession if he's uncircumcised. Elachozer baruchalakum. You have to return him back to the non-Jews, okay? So there's a one-year period of time where he can refuse to do Mila, and if he remains as an RL after that period of time, you go ahead and you have to basically get rid of him. Vim hisna love mitchila, okay? V'hu eitzel rabo akum, shnol yimol oso, muto lakaima v'hu RL. However, let's say this non-Jewish slave, right, who's by his non-Jewish master, says, listen, if I ever get purchased by a Jew, I will never, ever, ever, ever do Mila, okay? Meaning he puts a tanai, a condition in his purchase that he'll never do Mila. Then actually it's mutter to keep him, okay? Even if he's Ara, okay? So that's the one loophole to get out of doing Mila on your slave is if the slave has a tanai, then he'll never get Mila done. However, but it only works if he accepts upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, okay? And therefore, he now reverts into becoming a Ger Toshav, okay? Aval im lo kibo lo Sheva Mitzvahs, yarog miyad, okay? However, if he doesn't accept upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, in the situation where he is refusing, or he made it to nine not to get circumcised, so then you kill him immediately. He immediately gets killed, okay? Vei mekablen Ger Toshav o'zman sheyovel Noach, okay? And then, by Ger Toshav, we only accept a ger toshav in our midst when Yovel is noheg, which is a separate halacha, which we'll get to way down the road. But the key point now is that when it comes to the non-Jewish slave, if he refuses to, he gets 12 Jewish months to go ahead and from the time of his purchase to refuse being circumcised. If he puts a condition in that he doesn't want to be circumcised or refuses to, then he just has to be makabel shiva metzos b'nei noach, and then it's okay to keep him. Okay, that ends the section on avadim. Now comes the ger. Okay, halacha zayin ger shenichnas l'kahal yisrael chayav milatchila. So a convert who joins the Jewish nation, he's also obligated in mila. Okay, right from the get go. Vim mal kishahaya akum. Okay, tsarech lahatev meno dambris biyom shenis gayer. And if he was circumcised when he was still not Jewish, there is some type of extraction of blood that must take place on the day that he's in his gayer. So there's always something done. So even if the ger was already circumcised, hatafas dambris takes place on the day that he converts. V'chein katan shenola kishumol. So too a baby that's born circumcised, sarach latif men adam bris b'yom hashmini, there also has to be a extraction of blood that takes place on the eighth day of his life. So again, a ger, if he's circumcised, has to have hatafas dambris, and a katan that's actually born mahol also must have hatafas dambris. Adroganus, okay, v'hu shayalot sheishlo zichros kezachar unekevos kenekeva, sarach lima also b'shmini. So you have someone who's androgynous, who's born with both sets of genitalia, is still chayev to have a mila done on the eighth day. V'chein yotze dofen, mi sheyesh lo shtei arlos, malona shteihen b'shmini. And so too, if a child is born unnaturally, which today would be, let's say, a C-section, or if a child has two foreskins, okay, in both situations, right, and let's say by the two foreskins, you have to do circumcision, you have to do mila on the eighth day. Okay, so even if Even if there's an abnormality, in the way the child is born, or if the child has multiple foreskins, you're still chayav to do mila on the eighth day. Okay, lachachas. Okay, aim mala. Yeah, we're gonna get to that. Patience, my friend. Patience. It's coming up. Don't worry. Aim mala olam ela biyom achar alos hashemesh. Okay. So you only do mila, okay, in the daytime after alos. Okay, so after alos is the earliest you could do mila, okay, on the eighth day. Bein b'yom hashmini shehuzmana, bein shelo b'zmana shehut b'tishi v'hala. Shenemar b'yom hashmini b'yom v'lo b'layla. So the Rambam's referring to is that there's a machlokas in the Gemara about this, but basically when you do mila, okay, so mila's chayiv on the eighth day. Now let's say you missed the eighth day, okay. So there's two possibilities. Is it that Mila begins the eighth day? But if you don't do Mila on the morning of the eighth day, so now you can do Mila anytime you want after that eighth day morning period of time. Or no, that it's only a daytime performed mitzvah. So if I miss the eighth day in the morning, then the ninth day in the morning I would do it, or the tenth day, 11th day. Okay? So the Rambam learns out that it's a daytime mitzvah. Okay? 1 second, Ron. Mal mishallah al minashachar kasher. Okay, if you did mila from alos, okay, which is dawn, it's still kasher. But of course, nates is when it begins. Okay, v'chol yom kasher the mila. The entire day of the eighth day is appropriate to do mila. V'afu b'chein mitzvah lahaktim b'tchilas yom shes rizim akim the mitzvos. But nonetheless, you should always do mila as early as possible. Because Rizim Makim in the mitzvos, okay? Just as it is brought down the Gemara, Rizim Makim in the mitzvos. It's unclear why today we don't, like, everyone should be doing Mila at a Hanetz Minyan, meaning you should do Davin Hanetz, and then immediately do Mila afterwards. But I know people want to have as many people show up to the Mila as possible, so they do it a little bit later. But there's no question, this is one of the instances where the Gemara openly says, Rizim Makim in the mitzvos, you should do it as early as possible in the day. You should not let any time go by. So that's really the time to do it. Okay. Now, as someone just asked a minute ago, halacha tes. Okay, now you have a famous halacha. In fact, there's a parak dedicated to this in Shabbos. Mila bismana dokas a Shabbos. Okay, so mila, when it's done on the eighth day, okay, of a child's life, that is dokas a Shabbos. Okay, so again, As we all know, I'm sure we've all been to at least one bris on Shabbos. Mila, the mitzvah of Mila, pushes aside Shabbos because there's things that you're doing that are clearly usher to do, what do you call it, on Shabbos. However, v'shelov ezmana, ein adocha, lo asa Shabbos, lo asa yontav. However, let's say you missed the eighth day, okay? Now it's the ninth day, and the ninth day comes out on Shabbos. Then you would not be allowed to be, you would not be allowed to do Mila on Shabbos. You'd have to push it to the next day. So Mila, it's very fascinating how Mila was formulated. Mila is only docha Shabbos when it's done on the day that it's, let's put it this way, the day it, the mitzvah falls upon. But any day afterwards where the mitzvah still exists, that's not docha Shabbos, okay? Now, the other halacha, which is not as important for us practically, but ubein bizmano, ubein shelo bizmano, docha satsaras, okay? But whether it's on the eighth day or the ninth day, nonetheless, that's docha tzaras. What do you mean docha tzaras? Because there's an iser to destroy a simon of tzaras. So ketza, shim haisa beheres be'or ha'orla, choskeim orla. So let's say you found a tzaras sign, sign on the foreskin. You're allowed to cut the foreskin off. Af al pi sheketzitzas nega tzaras v'lo ta'aseh, yovo aseh v'yitcha es lo sa'aseh. Because so even though cutting off the tzaras sign would be an iser, so as we know, the halacha is, right, and aseh is docha lo sasa. So if you found a tzaras sign on the foreskin of the child, you would still be allowed to go ahead and, you still be chai to go ahead and do mila. Okay. But that's a general rule of thumb. If the child is unable to be circumcised on the eighth day, for whatever reason why, or it's pushed off, then the idea of pushing off of being docha Shabbos falls by the wayside. Okay. Halacha yud. Kishem shemila sabanam docha Shabbos. Okay, kach milas ha'avadim. Now again, carefully here. Shehein nimolim lishmona docha sashabes imchal shmini shalom b'shabes. Okay, so in a case of a normal yilid bias where the child, the slave child, is born in my house, and therefore I would do mila on the eighth day. By an eved also, right? It's docha sashabes if it's done on the eighth day. Chutz meyilid bias lo tavla imo ad sheyalda she'af api shenimol lishmona ain docha sashabes. The only exception is, okay, is in a situation where I have a child born in my house, okay, but the mother did not do tefillah, okay, until the child was born, meaning after the child was born, okay, she does mila, and now the chi of mila gets pushed to the eighth day. That's the one exception where it's not docha Shabbos. So there's only one time where mila that falls out that the eighth day of mila, which is mila, that falls out on Shabbos, where it wouldn't be docha Shabbos. That's a yilid bias where the mother didn't do tefillah until after the child was born. Okay, that takes care of Dechia Shabbos. Now you have these interesting, what do you call it? We're going to get to some embryological issues, okay, which definitely will raise some eyebrows, okay? And again, we have to keep in mind that a lot of this is based on their understanding of embryology, and obviously our understanding of embryology has changed. So, what it called? So, it's important to keep in mind as we go through these. Say it again. Okay, the Rambam's about to say. Yeah, he says, Lachirav, katan shenola kishum ma'ol. So, let's say a katan is born circumcised. Umisha nola bechodesh hashmini liiburo kodem shetigmar briyaso kishu kenefa mneisha eno chai. Okay, so this is just to make this clear, okay? There was a belief that if a child was born prematurely, okay, it was considered basically stillborn, okay? You'll see this expressed in more detail soon, okay, or maybe tomorrow. But if a child was born in the eighth month, okay, so then it was considered stillborn, okay? And therefore, that means that it's considered a nepha, and it's not considered to be alive, okay? Now, we'll get to what that means soon, okay? But again, if it's born in the eighth month, which means it's basically not considered alive, the Yotze Dofen, okay, Yotze Dofen is a child born in an abnormal way, which would be like a C-section, okay? Androgynous, right, which again has both genitalia, Umish Yeshlo Shtei Arlos, okay, or if a child has two foreskins, in all these situations, Ein Dochen Es HaShabbos, okay? So in all these situations, okay, they're not docha to Shabbos. We'll get back to the eighth month soon. But all the other situations, they're not. right? So these are the other exceptions where you'd push off the mila. It would not be docha Shabbos, and you would do it, excuse me, on Sunday. Okay, all right. We'll get to all these in these specifically soon. Let's just do halacha yabez. We'll probably stop here. Misha nola bein shmashos. Okay, this is a famous case. If you're born in Suffolk time, okay. So if a child is born between sunset and nightfall, okay, which is Suffolk b'yom, Suffolk b'layla, okay. Now what do you do? Okay, monin min halayla. So you count from the night, okay? V'nimol l'tashish hu suffik shmini. And therefore, the child would be circumcised on the ninth day, right? Which is suffik shmini. V'imnolad, what do you call it? Erev Shabbos b'nesh mashos. If the child was born Friday night, but again, between Shkia and Tzeis HaKohavim, ein adochas Shabbos, meaning on the following Shabbos, it would not push a Shabbos numila, ela nimol b'echa b'Shabbos, she'ein dochanes Shabbos misafik. So that's the other case where it won't be Docha Shabbos. Rather, what would happen is that it would be, what do you call it? It would be pushed off to Sunday.